Now on.
This evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee for February 24th, 2014 at 6:32. Would you please take a moment to review and approve the minutes of the February 10th meeting?
Aye.
Approve the minutes.
Okay. Then the first order of business then this evening is the bid results for the elementary school addition project. I've attached a brief board report explaining the process and where we're at with the bids. This evening we have Frederick Quinn and Associates here to present that the results to you. So I'll let Jack Hayes get started.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. As we kind of reviewed real broadly last meeting, because we had just previously opened the bids a couple of days prior to that meeting, looks like everything has come in pretty good shape. Overall, there's little ups and downs on each individual bid package, which is pretty normal. But the overall budget is intact, and actually we picked up a little bit more contingency. So I'm sure you have questions. There's a letter of recommendation, which is kind of what follows our scope reviews that Fred and John did with the individual low bidders. We meet with them, review the bids, go through the details of the scope of work, the schedule, the expectations, the process, their availability, which leads them to that letter of recommendation. So there's a letter of recommendation, there's an individual bid tallies which show you the number of bidders, the bid per trade, and so forth. And then there's a summary document that shows you where we're at with regard to the overall budget. I'd be happy to go through that to show you where we picked up some additional savings on the project. But instead of letting me ramble, is there any preference on how we go through this or any questions that you have that we can just dive right into?
Well, I think going through where you got the savings would be good. I know that the overall budget that was put together by the architects doesn't necessarily line up trade by bid packages.
Nor does it by ours either.
By yours either.
Yeah, I mean, it's close. There's some that are close, there's some that are a little bit off.
Which is typical, but
right.
You know, just in a, not to the penny or even to the dollar, but there's a total of $217,000 and change that you've thrown into the contingency.
Right.
So that's
kind of
equaling factor.
Savings,
yeah.
Right.
Right, that's the adjustment.
Yep.
So if we could just understand the major areas where the $218,000 came from, that would be good to know. And if there's a reason, then that would be great to know that too.
Okay. Let me highlight a couple of areas that I think stand out in terms of savings. And I'm going to go right to the site work, first of all. The numbers that we were when you add up the budgeted numbers for site development across Franklin, Lincoln, and then the work at Forest Glen versus the budget, you pick up most of that $200,000+ in savings, to be honest. And the reason for that is that the budget, and Fred, you know, don't let me say anything you don't want me to say.
I'll stop.
So please come in and participate in this conversation. Mm-hmm. But the numbers that we were carrying were essentially the engineer's estimate because we weren't able to get the documents early enough to put together a detailed cost estimate for the December board meeting. So we've been carrying those numbers based on a broad scope of work and their engineer's estimate. And I guess fortunately, and we kind of knew intuitively, right?
And we checked it.
And that, is that the biggest reason is because you're doing the three projects at the same time? Or is it just that they made certain assumptions?
No, I think they made certain assumptions of how much we had to actually do.
Okay.
Think of an area that we had to have stormwater in and so forth. But
And there are some economies of scale.
Yes.
And then there's the, this number is a representation of the scope of work as we have it laid out with all four schools combined.
Right.
So there's some economies that you get from that.
Okay.
And when you look at the building numbers themselves across Franklin and Lincoln, they almost wash out. Franklin's a little under budget, Lincoln's a little over budget on the building side, and they kind of balance it out.
And then when we're going to the contingencies, we're taking some Lincoln's contingencies. Is that because their soils?
Well, it's mostly we asked every subcontractor to break down the price by building.
Okay.
But we awarded based on the entire project.
So is that but most of the differential was in the site work?
Yeah.
So Lincoln has this negative. It's okay. We own all the buildings. It doesn't matter who has the negative.
And that's how we budgeted. We budgeted the job more as a job, not as a building.
Right.
And so that's another reason.
When I'm looking at this, I'm looking at the, if I remember what you have, the original bids, estimates, we did them on base soil conditions with pre-soil boring. So what I'm asking, in essence, is did we find out that Lincoln had really bad soil, or did we... Where the soils test.
Right now, we're still assuming they're as per the borings.
And the borings were normal conditions for, or were there any undercuts expected?
Yes. At Lincoln, we did think originally there was going to be some undercuts there, but we don't have that many undercuts there. But we do have more at
Forest Glen. There's some more Forest Glen
here under the pass.
Okay.
But we had kind of anticipated that from the borings as well.
Okay.
I think we also thought Lincoln was going to have the south building. It's the two buildings, the north building and the south building on the same west side. We thought that the south building was going to be deeper in the ground than it really is. It's almost flush with the ground, so that helped a lot too.
Okay. I just was wondering. I'm kind of, when I look at the three contingencies, you know, they're so diverse. You know, where you're going up and down by the building. It makes me think that it just makes. And then you started with the soil. That most of this is in site work. So then I'm thinking, well, looks like Lincoln soils were bad, but that's not the case. So it's for some other reasons by however the subs parse their data by building, which could have been.
It could have been arbitrary.
Well, yeah, it could be arbitrary. I understand.
Because the integrity is in the overall number.
Yeah, that's the main number. And for them to do that is hard anyways.
It is.
I mean, they got unit costs, but I understand.
Yep.
But it's kind of hard. Okay. All right.
So, and essentially what we've done on that line is we're calling that added contingency from bid package one, because we still have a lot of work to bid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to bid the building at Lincoln. We have to bid all the work at Churchill. You know, so there's a lot of work left to bid. So
the building at Forest Glen.
I'm sorry, the building at Forest Glen and all the work at Churchill. Thank you. You know, since there's so much value left to bid in these numbers, even though $200,000 sounds like a lot of money, it's not a lot of money over a $13 million job. So Fred appropriately says, let's leave this budget the way it is. You know, let's not start thinking we've got money to spend until we get on the other side of it.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I took your pre-fee. That's the hard cost number. That's less than 2%, so that's very modest. It's a nice big number, though, an absolute number. So we'll keep focused on that.
It's the right direction, but let's not, you know.
Yeah, no backflips yet. Now, when you were talking with these subs to, you know, getting down to when you get down to the contracts, and looking at these bids, was there any schedule adjustments made by any of the subs, or did they fall within the guidelines in which you guys were?
Everybody that we talked to, and actually we had somebody comment before we actually did the job and said that our schedule was way too tight for certain items. So we did make an adjustment in the schedule and submitted it as part of an addendum, which gave the site contract a little bit more time. For the underground work at Franklin, kind of rearrange things a little bit. So when the addenda came out, now they're tied to that new schedule.
Okay.
And in reviewing their bids, for the most part, everybody was okay with the bids. Some will understand it's going to be a little tight, but they're willing to work within the time frame that we gave them. So they're tied to our schedule as well.
So your new schedule, adjusted schedule, if you will, how is it? Does it move on either side of the start and end window? Is all the adjustments internally? Or did your end date move out?
Well, you can talk a little bit more about that, but we lost some days because of weather.
We've been struggling with schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so The short answer to your question is there wasn't any magic in the meetings with the subs where they said, I can get done a month sooner.
That's what I wanted.
That didn't happen. Okay, so that's the simple answer.
Or they said I couldn't get done.
Right. So, but what we did pick up and what Fred is saying here is that we did pick up some challenges from talking to the subs and so forth. So in addition to issuing the revised schedule, we've lost the schedule because there's been snow days, which has extended the school year.
Well, have we extended the school year?
Well, I don't know if the board has formally done yet, but there have been days that have been lost due to the weather.
We will need to make those days up.
Yeah, so I don't know what the next step in your administrative process is, but from our standpoint, we're anticipating that we've lost some days.
So what's your start date on your current calendar? On your current like June what?
June 11th. Today got pushed to June 11th.
11th?
Yeah,
okay.
Well, actually, June 11th is the last day of school.
Right. Yeah.
So actually, we can't start till the 12th, and in many cases, we can't start till the 16th because we've got to get teachers out. We have to wait till teachers get out of the room. So what we've done to help that situation is we've met with Bob, and through his efforts and the cooperation of the individual school principals, we've actually pulled the schedule forward into May for some of the site work that we just are pressed so tightly on, John is pressed so tightly on, that we've tried to work out a mechanism where we can do some site work, you know, concise site work, primarily located around being able to move the portables as quickly as possible once school is out for the summer. That's the main goal at Lincoln.
Right.
And Forest Glen.
But Forest Glen, we have a lot more lead time, so. Because you're not building the building.
We're not building the building, but we still have to get those portables moved and up and running and ready for school by August 18th.
But the 4 days don't cost you, right, too much. And they shouldn't.
It's not critical, but there's still an advantage to being
underground to do for the site.
Right, we're trying to get all the site utility
built and for the future building.
Oh, okay.
The big one is Frank. And, mm-hmm. and not only do we have to do all of that, we have a lot of utility work that has to happen. And so what we've done in cooperation with the school principals, we picked up 3 weeks or so, three and a half weeks, to go in there and start, you know, we'll stay tight to an area, fenced in, separated from the kids, we'll have traffic control, all that, and we'll be able to start a little bit early there.
Okay. When you're picking your subs, I got two prongs on this one.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this before at the last meeting, but I think it's important to get out there.
Yep.
We didn't know at the time which ones you were awarding or recommending.
Correct.
For. But all the ones that your recommendation that you have worked with or D41 has worked with, is there any new ones? If there are?
Most of them are familiar with to us. Is there anybody new, brand new?
Totally
new.
Yep.
Let's see. I don't believe there was, to be honest with you.
And when you're talking about schedule, having prior work performance is obviously
right.
One of the key things, and our schedule is tight as can be. So.
Lakeshore Glass?
Lakeshore Glass is new. We haven't dealt in a long time. They've been around for years.
Okay.
They're out of the city.
You may have experience working with them previously. Prior to working for Freddie Clay about 6 years ago. So
okay.
They're a known entity.
And then regarding the, I think there's four trades where we either had one or just two bids.
Yes.
And I typically like to see at least three.
Yeah, we like two.
And what is your feeling on, one of the two bids, I mean, the bids were so different. It was almost like only having one bid.
You're probably talking about the casework?
Yes.
Casework
was
a big difference.
Metal hardware
with doors and hardware.
Yeah, it was, yep.
Door hardware, the reason that one is, we did only get two bids. We solicited many more, but two turned in the bids, the low bidder bid it for the documents. The high bidder included all the aluminum door hardware, which was part of the aluminum door package.
Right.
And it's worth about $70,000. So if you take that dollar amount and add it to the low, or take it away from the high guy, he'd be pretty close to the low bidder.
So he just made a mistake.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is, just to help, I want to go on the record with this because we talked about it in general terms last time. But when we go out to bid, we have to publicly advertise, which we did, through the help of Bob and Carolyn. And then we send it to all the plan rooms to Dodge.
Bid tool, bid facts, Dodge reports.
So we put it out to all the plan rooms.
Right.
And then we also have a bid invitation, an electronic bid invitation that we maintain. And that went out to
about 600 trades for the bid.
600 trades. And then we call all 600 trades and say, did you get it? Are you going to bid? Are you interested? And usually what ends up happening is, well, what we do is we keep track of who's interested and who says they're going to bid. So we have a good running history of that. And in all of these cases, we had, you know, at least three or four that said, yes, we're going to bid. But until they show up and turn it in.
Right.
So we did have the one package, so that we only did have one bidder. We had a few that had the two, as you indicated.
Yeah, I think it was two that had two and two that had one. And I understand that. I mean, the person's, my experience, they're not bidding it because they're full, you know.
They're full, full. The schedule
they
is...
Don't, yeah, it doesn't meet their schedule, right. And they don't think they're going to be the low bidder. There's clearly constraints for people that make them not want to bid. So I guess at the end of the day, when I'm looking at these two, the operational partitions and then the waterproofing and
the
ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Right. For me to feel comfortable, I need to know that you guys are 100% comfortable.
With regards to the waterproofing, that's a trade package. It's waterproofing and sealants, and it's a trade package that I kind of insist on from an operational point of view because of the kind of building you have. They're going to provide the air barrier between the masonry wall and the brick, and then they're going to provide the waterproofing for the underground portion of the rooms at Franklin. So those are trades that could be broken out and put in with the mason or the concrete guy. But we insist on having that as a trade package because we want a single source of responsibility for warranty on that system. So that's kind of an unusual trade package from a construction management point of view. That's why it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a limited, when I say that, what I'm getting to is there's a limited number of providers in that business. And so it's difficult. You know, there's five or six or eight or nine guys who do it. Then you have to factor in the other factors that you were talking about before.
Now, do the masonry guys, they usually do this work.
They sub it out. They sub it out.
So we take
it out of their packs and we just hold it.
Gotcha, since they're doing a sub of a sub.
The direct answer to the other part of your question is this company has successfully completed this same scope of work behind masonry and below basement waterproofing on projects for us within the last year.
Okay. Is that one in
Gower?
No, they did a church for us in Naperville that's very similar.
Okay.
It's got an 8-foot basement and a masonry wall that's 12 feet tall, and it goes from air barrier between to waterproofing below. And, you know, to this point, knock on wood, we're clean and dry.
They're getting tested. And then the other one?
As far as modern partitions, I think there was a couple of people that were specified three different companies. Monopole is a very good company. They're out of Carroll Street, close by the local. Pricing is very competitive with their number, checked against the square footage of the panels as well. So they're right on line with that. Actually, they bid per the document. I think in my recap here, I even indicated they bid it exactly by the spec, which included what they call pocket doors. The drawings didn't show pocket doors, so we questioned it. Said, why did you include the pocket doors? So it wasn't a spec. I said, well, I don't think we need them. So we verified that with the architect, and we don't need them. So we got a credit back with, I think, $4,000. So.
Okay.
And there's another package that we only had two bidders on. That was casework,
right?
And that's not part of the recommendation because there was only two bidders. It created a question as to what's going on. We worked with both of the providers, both of the bidders, but there were too many questions between the two bids that we weren't comfortable making that recommendation. So we've had some questions going back and forth. We have a few more questions to ask of the district before we finalize that one or potentially rebid it.
Who has casework?
Millwork. The cabinets that go in the classrooms, essentially.
And also the little lockers in the hallway.
In your overall budget number to us, was that trade taken out then, or was that?
Yes, in the overall budget, we're holding.
We're holding the original budget. The original money you had for that.
Gotcha.
Okay. You know, I think one of the bidders was below, and one of them was above the budget. So it's, you know,
it's a big swing.
I think we split the middle on it.
Yes.
We still have a few other trades that we did not bid as of yet. But we still need to bid, so there will be a bid package.
Yeah, miscellaneous things that we don't need until later in the year.
Okay. That's my question.
Okay. Drew or Patrick? Okay. So that essentially, just to summarize, provides the bid recommendations so that we can get going with all the work at Franklin, all the work at Lincoln, and then the site utility detention work at Forest Glen. And as Fred indicated, there are some miscellaneous items on those building projects that we'll come back with later in the year with the different bid package for that we just didn't even procure at this point. Yeah.
So as
okay.
I said, every time you're in front of me, I'm going to ask the same question. Building permits. So everything's still, so I know we had a positive architectural review committee.
Dave is at the village board meeting this evening.
Oh, so we are at the village board.
Thank you.
And that's for approval, final
approval. Yeah,
that's for approval.
That's for final approval.
And then you can make your permit submission.
You already have for some signatures are the ROE permits, the Regional Office of Education. We talked in our meeting today about permitting for at the village level for stormwater at Forest Glen, and then all the permits really are in the final stages of either being there or in the process of being submitted
okay.
for approval.
Yep.
We don't see anything at this point in time holding up these projects.
Are we
pending
on
board approval?
Are we on consent agenda tonight, or is it, you know?
They asked one of us to be there, and I was originally going to go, but declined. I asked Dave to go, and he is there to answer any questions should there be any from the board. But as I told you, I was there 2 weeks ago. We got a lot of great questions and a great recommendation, unanimous recommendation on these projects. Their comments were they were glad to see that the district takes master facility planning seriously. And I told you it's been a conversation that's been on the boards that we've had numerous times over the years that I've been here, and they like the master facility plan, and the fact that we're reducing our reliance on portables. They were particularly happy to see that recommendation come forward. They were very supportive.
Any major litigation that we need to be concerned with any of these matters? Case law.
As part of their pre-qualification, they turned in that report to us, and none of them reported any ongoing litigation to us.
But passed on the cases.
Yeah.
They have all certifications that they can submit by certification saying that they're okay, they're not barred or anything like that.
Nobody comes to mind in terms of any problems that we've had or anything that we're hearing about. And we do. I mean, we've been at odds with districts before saying we don't recommend, and their attorney saying, well, you have to accept the loans for funds of vendor. And we said, well, if you want to do that, but we're not going to recommend them. So nobody stuck out like that.
Patrick, we have previously, last year, when we were doing the Hadley remodel for the LMC, we had a low bidder come in, and through our processes, we eliminated them once they came in $100,000 cheaper. We felt uncomfortable recommending them. And you know what? They went away and never were
the same. See, I knew I had another question.
Way to go, Patrick.
No, I should have kept quiet.
Yeah, no, it was the one I had, I think I sent this in my email too, was one about the roof.
Mm-hmm. The roof.
Lincoln. It's for the alternate because we decided to go let you guys manage that process instead of how we do. So
we took bids and obviously we had to, as an alternate, since it's coming from a different source, funding source, and we put it at the end of the package here.
And how did that go to our original budget? That's what I was looking for.
Well, we have we're still developing the budget for next fiscal year. We estimated the cost of that project between $225,000 and $250,000. It came in at about $194,000. As I think I've mentioned to this committee and the board previously, we received a $50,000 school maintenance grant 2 years ago. That has to be done this year or we lose that funding. So net cost to the district, about $145,000 to do that.
Yeah. Oh, I like that we did it the way you chose to do it, Bob. Clearly, there's an economy of scale on that small project with this big project. So, and I think you saw it in the savings from the estimates. And your estimates are based on previous cost that we've seen within the district.
And the fact that we thought that maybe it would be a standalone roofing project versus part of a much bigger project.
Right, and that gets you your savings.
Now, one of the reasons that we've also bid it as an alternate was because we wanted to be able to track those expenditures should we ever be audited. So we have, this is essentially a standalone project that we'll monitor, maintain here at the district level.
Okay.
Any other questions for Frederick Flynn on the bid results? So then the next order of business this evening will be the Frederick Quinn Corporation contract recommendation. As you know, we had a couple of more board members sit in on this this interview committee. We had, I think, 13 firms interview for this construction management services contract with the district. We had probably 13 original submittals. I think we reduced that down to 5, and then we made a final recommendation last fall, early winter, in terms of bringing Frederick Quinn aboard. There have been a number of services provided pre-construction phase. Obviously, we're still in that phase now. We're soon to be entering, if these bids are accepted and the elementary, the additions move forward, we'll be moving into the construction phase, certainly around the 1st of May. And there's some dollar figures set out here in terms of what their estimated expenditure or what their estimated expenditure for the district will be. Overall, it's estimated that over a two-year period, Frederick Quinn's contract will come in at approximately $1,285,000. The district has committed to fund, at least partially, these expenditures out of ongoing operational funds. And I'll tell you that we have had several budget meetings already this year, and that has certainly been identified as a priority that we provide for these expenditures. And so this evening I'm presenting the QC contract for your initial review. Questions if you have any. We'll be moving this forward to the board for discussion on March 10th and ultimately to the board for approval on March 24th. So, do you have any questions? And then if there's any questions in the contract in particular, we obviously have a team here from FQC that if you have any questions, might be able to respond to those. But any questions for me in general about the process or where we stand currently?
I have four questions that are all simple. This is the basic AIA contract that we had submitted in the or asked for in the RFP.
That's correct, and this contract has been reviewed and updated per hour, attorney's hours, Francis Consultant, Francis, and pardon me?
That was my second question.
Get to some of those questions.
That's cool. Attorney review.
It's in the last sentence of my discussion here. The contract agreement has been reviewed and approved by our attorneys for approval by the
board. I read that, but I must forget it. And then the fees and the time schedule, the adjusted time schedule.
Yeah, we have. I spoke with Frederick Quinn last week, Jack and his team here. I've asked for updated proposals, and not proposed, but rather cash flow analysis in terms of what we're bringing, what we think we're going to be bringing in terms of ultimate recommendations for this year as well as next. So I would expect to see those very shortly so I'll know what our cash flow needs will be over the next 18 to 24 months.
Okay, and the dates that are in the contract are per, well, they're
fall within your adjusted schedule doesn't really change these dates.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, we've been planning on this, you know, multi-phase, multi-year contract from the very beginning. What you're looking at in terms of figures reflect that overall schedule. And to be honest with you, it's kind of been a worst case scenario. You know, we've extended it all the way out because of the spring work after the last phase and so forth. So I don't anticipate sitting here today any reason for the numbers to be any larger based on the schedule.
Okay. Okay, now for every little piece, can you do this project?
Absolutely.
Can they do this project?
When you say can we do this project, you're concerned about the schedule?
Everything.
Everything top to bottom?
Can we manage this project?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You didn't sit in on our interviews. The project manager who's going to be on your job as your senior on-site day-to-day guy is a rock star. And between him and John being on site, and us being so close, we're going to be all over this thing. This is honestly, to be truthful with you, it's one of the most important projects we've got going on right now. I mean, it is the most important project. But in terms of commitment, I mean, you've seen me here at every meeting.
Yep.
You know, we understand that there's a lot riding on this for the future,
mm-hmm.
and that affects both of us.
Okay.
So you've got our commitment that this is going to be successful.
And you just don't see them here at these meetings. We meet at least once, if not twice a week, during normal working. We had a 3-hour meeting this afternoon, so and we talk almost every day.
Right.
And I would assume that will only ramp up as we get closer to construction time.
Our job as board members are to support you, Bob. And if you're comfortable with these guys and we can make this project, the trust is there. So if you're comfortable and we can do it, see the reason why we wouldn't go forward.
We'll do it.
Who is the on the ground
Adam Slotkus is going to be our main guy. We're going to have two people full time, and we might even have to ramp up to a third for some of the site work that we have to do across Forest Lawn and Churchill. But Adam Slotkus is our number one guy, and Joe and Paul and Bob and Dean met Adam. And he's been on site. He's been working with Dave. He's been out to Lincoln already.
Okay. You know, Patrick, I'll go back to this process that we went through. We had probably 6 or 7 members of the administrative team, as well as Joe and Dean, through this interview process. And we went out for an RFP. We had 13 firms applying. A lot of them were going tooth and nail for this work. So it's a valued job in the region. And Paul, you remember we were... we called Jack and another gentleman in here on a Friday morning and afternoon, and we were impressed enough that we said, go get him out of the parking lot. We made up our mind.
It was good.
So okay. We are very confident in the selection that we've made, and we look forward to
it. You guys got a lot to do in 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when the actual first shovel was...
Yeah, we met today with the principals from the 3 schools, or assistant principals, depending on the case. And you know, everybody's committed. They're given, and we're given, and
what were those conversations today? I wasn't able to be there today.
We were talking specifically about what the needs of the project were and the impact it has on the operation of the school in terms of starting early.
Good.
Them getting out as soon as possible after the last day of school, understanding that there's teacher institute days and time that they need after kids are gone to actually do work,
mm-hmm.
but understanding that we need to get into some of those spaces as soon as possible, and then the impact it's going to have on the facility over the summer in terms of, you know, power's going to be out, water's going to be out, fire protection's going to be out, what can you do, what can't you do. It's different by school, so we had to work through all those conversations.
So it's a good collaborative.
Yeah,
good.
Very good.
Paul, also, we had a representative from GECRC who was here to
talk
to
right.
Children's Resource Center, because that program is typically housed at Lincoln Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
So I did let them know last week, and I reiterated it again today, that we will not be able to accommodate them on the south side of town, but we will look into accommodating them at Forest Glen. Again, we're going to have a lot of site work going on there, but we feel as though we could still accommodate them. There were some other questions that came up regarding transportation and so forth, but I can provide an update to you.
Well, I'm glad that was such a productive meeting.
It was a great meeting, and I told you we had a meeting last Thursday. I saw a lot of sort of deer in headlights when when I was explaining to the principals about our expectations in terms of our needs to get these projects accommodated. And, you know, Linda said today she kind of breathed a sigh of relief and says, I think we'll be okay.
Good.
So she was.
Thank you guys for doing all that.
I was just going to say, I apologize if I'm stating the obvious. The buildings don't finish till December.
Yeah.
Okay. The 3 months is getting it ready for making it safe.
For school.
Right. And then the buildings are ready.
And then we ramp up the next spring to finish at Forest Glen and Churchill. So we really have 18 to 24 months of a lot of work to get accomplished in a short period of time.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions on that then? Then the final order of business is we talked about the intergovernmental agreements at our last finance committee, and I was asked to bring that back to this team here. So I'm going to step out of the conversation and just, you know, if you guys have any questions, let me know.
One thing that dawned on me as we were talking about the construction during the summer, does the park district use our buildings?
Yep.
There's no power.
They sure do. Well, they have used all of our buildings at different periods of time throughout the summer, okay? We typically have housed a volleyball camp and basketball camp at Hadley. They've used Ben Franklin for some fencing. They've used Churchill. They use all of our buildings at different periods of time throughout the year. So we've already had an initial conversation with them, and I told them what the expectations would be, and that is there is no use of the facilities June, July, August at Lincoln and Forest Glen. Excuse me, Lincoln and Ben Franklin. And I told them I would accommodate them to the best of our abilities if they have some other programs. And typically, as I stated, they like the Hadley, the large gym there, and they may use that for a volleyball camp and then a basketball camp.
Okay, and then the park, they also, baseball teams practice and all that.
They don't practice really. They don't do an organized practice where they're required to notify us. Now, I have heard occasionally we'll find a baseball team at the point of the Carol because she maintains
a
facility.
I'm a
T-ball
coach, and they say go wherever you want.
See, that's a problem.
Well, that's what they're
intergovernmental.
I know not to go there.
Well,
but that's not what they're sending out.
Well, and you know what? That's a great comment because we have a degree of frustration there. We have a gentleman in the community here who is sponsoring a lacrosse team, and he runs sideways of the park district. So he has put some pressure on me in terms of getting some sites, and I just don't have any place to accommodate him. So our first relationship to provide space and facilities is the park district, and that's who our main focus is, making sure we can accommodate them to the best of our ability.
All right, where do you guys want to start with the intergovernmental agreement?
I know in the last meeting, we kind of ran out of time. I know Joe had raised some issues, and we had to put them aside for this meeting. So that's part of the reason I asked Bob to put it on the agenda to make sure that there is further discussion we want to be involved with. You know, I wanted to make sure that we have the opportunity at the finance committee to talk about.
Okay.
And for my purposes, it was more of making sure I knew what those agreements were. So when we ramp up phase two, we know what we're obliged to, what we're open to, what we can discuss. You know, I'm starting to see phase one is it's down. You know, now it's a general board conversation that we're having. Finance and facilities can start poking at the phase two conversations. What are we, what can we do with lacrosse players and basketball players and Hadley volleyball. So I like it to have it in my back pocket so when we do start having these conversations, we have all the information. But I don't know if we want to do anything. Just
yeah. Absolutely respect that.
Options.
Yeah.
There's one, the one agreement with District 87.
That would be for Spalding.
Yeah. When does that come to the board for its approval? Because it's a draft is the one we receive. So I'm guessing that's eventually coming to us.
Yeah, and it looks like it's in my lap because 87 really hasn't taken up, but we own the property, so
yeah.
Our plans are to bring that back. I guess it's time now to start to discuss it at the board level.
So this is for next school year. This school year,
it's renewed on an annual basis.
Right. And my only comment on that was that we make it not a termination, but a renewal. Just from a, I know it's a nomenclature. To me, it's important that if suddenly we need to use Spalding and we're terminating an agreement,
yeah.
It sounds much more negative than if you're just, you know, not
we're not going to redo it.
Right. And how are they using it? Because I think this agreement contradicts what the way in which they're using it. They're not using it for football. That's what this says. They're using it for lacrosse. I mean, it should be what they're using it for.
We should probably make that just general sports or sports in general.
I'm fine with specifics because there may be something you don't want them to use it for, like an ice rink or something. I don't know. But, you know, there's things that deteriorate your land a little more than other things that may require more maintenance. But that's just,
okay. You
know, general comments. I mean, I agree with Patrick. This stuff's informational for us for the long run. I think ultimately, I know, Bobby, you have your handful of all the bids and all that that's coming in, but when I look at this, I start thinking, what are they providing us? What are we providing them? What's the cost to the district on an annual basis of them using our space? You know, that's
District 87?
No, I'm on
Park
District. I'm sorry, I put that one over there. That one's Park. Now going back over here to the Park District. I mean, to me, and I've taken notes in these agreements, and I can email them to you. There's the kind of cost analysis, and some of it you may not be able to do, you know. I mean, I look at what they're doing for us, and if I remember this correctly, they're mowing them in the summer. Okay. We don't use them in the summer, you know, so we probably don't do as much mowing as they would need to do if they're using it. I don't see that as a huge benefit is what I'm getting at, you know. So, but it is a benefit because you normally would have to mow them.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, all the things that we do during the year, the wear and tear on the buildings is one thing, but I just like to see a cost and analysis. I'm not trying to say was this a good deal or not a good deal back in 1997, but at the end of the day, what is the current cost? What's the termination price? We know what that is. It's in here. And just evaluate that on an ongoing basis. At some level, if the costs become too much over the next 20 years, you know, then the wise financial decision, absent of every other factor that these have, would be, hey, this, it's costing us more to have this deal than it is to terminate it. That's when you renegotiate it. And I'm not suggesting that because I don't know the numbers. But that's absent of the things that we need moving forward. And I just reiterate what I stated last time because I think it's important. I look at all these agreements, and I look at the ones going the other way. We're the ones that need the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
We have a facilities issue. Yet we're not using other people's facilities in our company agreements, or in our company, I keep saying company, in our governmental agreements. We do a little bit, but not as much as we do the other way. And I find that interesting. That's because everybody else is landlocked. Like
everybody's pressed also for space.
Right. It just speaks to our community needs of space that we're not going to get. It's not going to be created.
Joe, we get emails, requests, phone calls, and I would tell you there are people who get angry when we can't accommodate them sometimes. But we do the best to accommodate whoever we can when they do make a request. So long as it's within reason.
Right. I wonder about that because to me, if there are private organizations making requests to use facilities that aren't being used, to me, my financial mind says it's a revenue source, you know, and what prohibits us from doing that besides these agreements? Because
we have board policy that states who can use our facilities and who can't, and how much they should be charging or how much we should be charging for their use.
So do we do that?
We do it to a limited degree. We generally don't allow outside private groups to utilize our facilities just because there's insurance involved, there's labor involved, because we have to have someone from our staff. If it's in the evening, it's on Saturday or Sunday, we bring custodial staff in because they still need to be let into the building or may have particular needs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every if you have a cost, then you know what your price has to exceed, but... Anyways, I just asked.
Are you, Joe, are you comfortable with us bringing back a cost analysis kind of late May?
Yeah, that's
because you were talking about...
There's a lot going on.
You recognize there's a lot going on, but if we would look at a late May...
It'll take me to April to get my email.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I had... go ahead.
So Bob, in the agreement, it talks about what the park district wants to use for the following year in their schedule, and it's due in March. Have they given that to us yet?
Not yet.
And we're supposed to approve it, per se.
Well, I mean, it's a little more... Now, I will tell you, the park district has been cooperative. When we need to use our buildings, like I'll get a call from the principal at Franklin, he says, Bob, I just realized that I have science night. Or something like this, scheduled for Friday, and yet the park district has reserved the building. Karen will send the park district an email in for a call, and 99% of the time they accept our request. But generally speaking, they have pretty much exclusive use of our facilities and our sites.
That's if we approve their schedule. According to this agreement, it says we have to approve their schedule for the following year. So
I would say that's maybe letter of the law. I don't know that it would really be that had been past practice.
Doesn't Exhibit A kind of dictate it, though?
The reason I'm asking is, do we have, this is for being selfish from a school, scholastic and academic and athletic perspective, are our schools looking for space, and now is the time for us to say, okay, band wants to practice on Wednesday nights during the standing up cross park district schedule.
You know, I know that.
Is it time for us to ask our principals, what is your wants for your facilities during the school year, and we'll set those as the priorities to the park district's program request?
Yeah, and I would say to every principal, they would probably rather have more use of our facilities rather than the current use or even less use. You know, I've had kind of a struggle with Hadley in terms of the park district reserving space at the gyms in Hadley, and yet I've had a group of whether they're faculty or students or whatever who want to get together and practice something on a Wednesday evening. So we've had challenges in terms of being able to try to accommodate both groups. So there can be some challenges in terms of monitoring or making sure that all groups are satisfied with these intergovernmental agreements. And we do the best that we can, given what we have at this time. Now, we've had pushback from the park district, just like I have to negotiate between the administrators in the building or the park district.
Well, okay, let me ask it a different way. Do our schools need standing facilities openings throughout the school year that they don't have now because of the park district schedule?
Can I just put it one quick, because this something we changed the PTA council and PTA vice when we came to council a couple of years ago. We're talking about the common calendar and use of space, so it speaks directly to what you're talking about, Patrick. And I looked at Carolyn because I think we were both thinking the same thing, that put into place was an earlier calendar that schools put in, much earlier, February. I mean, they're working on their calendars this month.
And the park district does it by, the way they do their programs, so it'd be fall, winter, spring.
Right.
And as soon as they know those schedules, they get them in the facilities calendar as soon as possible.
But they have to submit that request to us.
in March for this agreement for us to approve.
Right, and that does not happen for the full year.
Yeah, just put for those three seasons.
Those seasons, right.
Right.
But to answer your question, if this is answering part of it, the PTA presidents did come together and say, we need to do a better job of planning much earlier. We know we're going to have X author visits, science nights, you know, things that are in place. And so because of that, you know, Bob's office, Carolyn, gets that earlier, and those are put in, and that's where then Bob can say, you know, gee, we have International Night, which only is every other year. We have to use the gym that night and then negotiate a different night for that. So we have done, PTAs have done a better job of getting that stuff done earlier.
Okay, but I guess, so those are the, I don't call them ad hoc, but special occasion schedules.
Well, it's the every year kind of thing. Fall Fest,
yeah.
Ice cream social night, science night,
okay.
CERC meetings, you know, all those things that come on an annual basis that have become, you know, committed times, you know, for the schools.
Okay.
So those things, but if, you know, you want to come up with something a month beforehand, I think that's what I hear you saying is do
no,
you
no,
have
no, no, I'm saying is, does the Hadley Junior Varsity Girls Volleyball Team, what does practice Monday through Friday from 4 to 5:30?
Mm-hmm. And do they have that flexibility?
Or can they practice on Saturday? Because they can't right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say there's frustration on the part of all of our buildings with the desire for greater flexibility and more time in the buildings. For us to have to be out at 5 o'clock is a source of aggravation on an ongoing basis.
Right. Yeah, but we're not helping ourselves by saying we want to practice on Saturday, or we want to have the gym from 6:30 to 7 to practice, you know, boys lacrosse or something like that. Because we're not. I want to help, but if we don't help ourselves by saying, okay, we got the park schedule and we're just going to, okay, there it is again, and then we can't use it from 5 to, yeah. to 10 and Saturday.
What you're saying is we need the input from mm-hmm. administration.
Yeah. And let's take this opportunity in March
to make sure that we have the space we need.
Yeah, if you want it. Say
if you want it.
Yeah.
Because we have to approve the park
yeah.
district. And
that makes
schedule
sense.
That doesn't conflict with ours.
Just so I understand, because when I read Exhibit A, and I know we're
out of time. I was going to say one more minute.
And yeah, I got one more minute.
Okay.
And then we got a 5 minute.
I know. Just we can't get into it again.
I know, but I this wasn't original. So.
No.
The gymnasiums that the agreement speaks to is Churchill and Ben Franklin. Yet, they really, and then the fields are everywhere. But they have access to Lincoln and
Hadley.
Hadley's is on here, though. But when it says elementary, it's not specific, but the footnote says Churchill and Ben Franklin, which means Lincoln and Forest Glen are not included. But all the discussion I hear, it includes all four.
I will tell you that we've got a request for the Park District to use all of our gymnasiums. This agreement here was because the Park District paid $400,000 over to enlarge the gyms at Churchill and Franklin.
Right. Right. I understand that. But this doesn't say they get to use the other ones. That's three gyms, two at Lincoln and one at Forest Glen. And then the caveat that this is the one that I have to state. I mean, if people don't know, it's in here. To me, it's irritating. All students of the school district shall be considered residents of the park district. When registering for park district programs conducted solely or primarily at Churchill. Now that doesn't seem very equitable. So,
well,
I mean, if there's one at Ben Franklin, then and I'm not in the park district because I'm not, but I'm in District 41.
Mm-hmm.
That or I'm at Hadley. It should be all or nothing.
Yeah.
For me, it was a.
So I know just in the last 12 seconds, I just want to make sure that if we have an opportunity to help our schools with the facilities by the March priority schedule that our park district should be providing to us, that we need to approve at the board, that we take a bit of self-interest and say, let's take a look at it this year going forward.
You know what, that would be a great
I appreciate it. I think it's a great suggestion to get in front of our principals.
Of it at council.
Yep, I'll make sure it's on next Tuesday's at council meeting.
If they have any additional uses, they should get them to us really by January, February. Any requests for additional use, give them to me by January, February, so we can have those conversations.
Because our contract says March.
Yep.
We have to approve it by March.
I think
or
it's good.
Spring or fall, winter, and spring.
All right. We're done with finance today.